The Dignity Memorial Network, America's leading funeral homes and cemeteries, united to bring you the services you need when it matters most.
For more information, call Hartage Giddens Rivermead Funeral Home, 904-264-2481, 904-264-2481.
Good morning. Talk Radio 600 WBOB is proud to present Tula's Tips for Caregivers. Help is on the air with Tula Wooten, your source to go to for resources and information to help you in this rewarding but sometimes challenging role. Tula's Tips for Caregivers, brought to you in part by Hartage Giddens, your Dignity Memorial provider, and by DaVita Dialysis, your source for kidney disease and dialysis. To participate in today's show, call 904-854-1320. That's 854-1320. And now, here's Tula.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Tula's Tips for Caregivers. I'm so delighted to be with you again on this Saturday. It's a little chilly out, but you know what? It's not raining yet, and there's still a lot we can get to do outdoors and enjoy. I am so happy to be able to give this show to those in the community who are heroes in my book, those of you who are caring for a loved one. Caregiver, that, you know, it's kind of become a national buzzword these days. And for years and years and years, it was just something people did for the people that they loved and cared about. But with the aging of our population and all of us growing older, so many of us growing so much older, living longer, we do have over 65 million caregivers in the United States today. And there are a lot of needs that need to be addressed to care for the people who are caring for a loved one. And that's one of the reasons I started this show. My goals are to reach caregivers where they are, to offer information and resources that are available in the community to help them. My show is primarily targeted to those who are caring for a senior, but I do believe that some of the information will be valuable to people of any age. I also hope to provide encouragement and impart strength for this rewarding, but again, sometimes overwhelming role. And then thirdly, to let you know that you're not alone. I really hope to connect caregivers with other caregivers. So please feel free to call in with any questions or concerns or comments so that we can all benefit. You also may reach me on my website and blog or ask questions. And that website is TulasTipsForCaregivers.com. And Tulas is T-O-U-L-A-S. I'm very delighted today to have two guests on my show. One is Dr. Stahl, who's calling in from New York. Dr. Stahl is a geriatrician who has worked with seniors and caregivers for years and is the author of a caregiver handbook that I just happened to run across, and I thought, I've got to reach this guy. This thing's awesome. Welcome, Dr. Stahl.
Hi, Tula. How are you?
I am doing great, and again, I thank you for taking the time to be on the show today.
It's my pleasure.
You know, Dr. Stahl, I also have written down here that you have written something else called What Should You Expect at Your Age a Lot. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, that's actually a catchphrase.
Okay.
In the past, you know, I'm getting feedback
okay.
in the connection, but I'm hearing everything I'm saying, so I'm going to just ignore it somehow. But this is the phrase, what should you expect at your age a lot? I actually did a radio show myself several years ago, and that was the name. And it was to reach out to seniors and caregivers and give information similar to what you're trying to do. It was a call-in show on various topics related to geriatric care. And the bottom line, really, is that older adults often sell themselves short,
mm-hmm.
and they have a lot to expect, though they themselves might not realize it, and oftentimes healthcare professionals don't know enough about aging to also help seniors and caregivers to their fullest ability.
I think that's awesome, and I like the catchphrase because we are all about people living their life to their fullest potential with quality of life and dignity and happiness and being able to do everything that they can do for themselves. And I feel the same way for caregivers. And I do have one today on my show with me. She has become a good friend. Her name is Shirley Munn, and Shirley cares for her husband who has Alzheimer's. Welcome, Shirley.
Thank you, Tula. Good to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. Today we are going to talk a little bit about what caregiver stress is and have Shirley take a questionnaire to kind of determine how is she doing within the role of caregiving. We're going to talk about some of the feelings and some of the challenges that come with caregiving. And Dr. Stahl, as we do that, I would, of course, like you to chime in at any point as she takes this questionnaire. And then afterwards, we'll kind of determine how we think Shirley's doing, if that's okay with you, Shirley.
Sure.
Sound good?
Nice to meet you, Shirley.
Same to you, Dr. Stahl. I appreciate it.
Well, we all know go ahead.
Yeah, one thought, Tula, how we can coordinate this so it's of interest to the listeners, and which it will be, and to economize on time and going through the questionnaire. Shirley, perhaps you could take 5 minutes, which is all it really takes to go through this 18-question caregiver self-assessment that's published by the American Medical Association. And I use this in my office in dealing with seniors and caregivers. And my practice really is a family practice. Even though I'm an internist, I consider it a family practice in that I have to take care of both the senior and the caregiver. Because if the caregiver's not in good shape, they're not going to be able to help their loved one to the fullest extent. So I take caregiving responsibilities very seriously, and caregiver stress is extremely common. I administer the caregiver self-assessment questionnaire, which really helps to identify stress that someone is going through in the caregiving role. So maybe what you can do, Shirley, is take those few minutes, go through the 18 questions, and then where you've answered yes, we can highlight those. And mention the other questions that might relate to other listeners. And I think that would probably fill up a good hour. We talk about this probably all day.
Okay. Well, Dr. Stahl,
I think we could go through it.
I've already actually written down my responses, so we can do it now if you'd like, unless you had something else.
No, that's perfect.
So you want me to just focus on the yes answers?
Let's starting at one. Okay. Tell me what your first yes answer was.
My first yes answer was number two, which is I felt that I couldn't leave my relative alone. I need to back up just a little bit and say that my husband is quite a few years older than me, and I only kind of began seeing this coming about 4 or 5 years ago in little ways. Until now, it's kind of a full-blown, got to be more aware of everything that's going on kind of a situation. And only very recently did I feel that I probably shouldn't leave him alone while I'm gone. I'm also a personal chef, and I come in and out and have 2 and 3 hour segments when I'm gone. And for the most part, that's been okay, but lately I'm seeing little hints that maybe it's not okay anymore. So I have ventured into some resources. And Tula, if anyone is interested out there, Tula has lots of resources. She can point you toward the elder care place. And there are companies that come and sit with your loved one. And so I'm working toward some of those responses, and I'm sure I'll resolve that very soon.
That's excellent. I mean, in terms of you're already looking for resources, and that's a key way to help cope with the stress of caregiving is not to be shy about reaching out to others for help.
Folks,
when you grew up, you, your brother, and sister each went looking for your own place in the world. Your family was now scattered around the country with families of your own. But when the news came that your mother passed away unexpectedly, all of you had to make it home to say your goodbyes to Mom. The Dignity Memorial Network's Bereavement Travel Program seeks out the best travel options for you, including airfare, car rental, lodging, and more. When a loved one dies, the support of family and friends is incredibly important. The Bereavement Travel Program can reduce the stress of making travel plans at this most difficult time, so you can focus on being together, not just getting together. The Dignity Memorial Network, America's leading funeral homes and cemeteries, united to bring you the services you need when it matters most.
For more information, call Hartage Giddens Town and Country Funeral Home and Riverside Memorial Park, 904-781-9262.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. As a sixth-generation jeweler, a question I get a lot is what kind of watch do you wear? The answer's a Rolex, and there are a couple of reasons. First, when my grandfather gave me a gift for graduating from college, he said, "I want you to have something that you'll always remember me for." And he gave me the Rolex that I wear today. Now, more than 25 years later, it still runs and looks as good as the day I got it, a day I'll always remember. It might be the right time for you to create the same kind of memory, and nothing does it better than a Rolex from Underwoods. Whether it's a lady's or a man's, the watch is pressure-proof and has the classic good looks that make Rolex the watch people want to own. And at Underwoods, all of our Rolex watches carry a 5-year guarantee. So stop by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, the Shops of Ponte Vedra, or the Avenues Mall, and let Rolex create a memory for you.
Kidney patients should know they have a choice in receiving treatment. Many patients choose DaVita, a leading provider, because DaVita patient outcomes consistently exceed national averages. DaVita believes that the more you know about your kidneys and how they work, the better choices you'll be able to make about your own care. So, we offer no-cost education classes called Empower Classes, right here in Jacksonville. These Empower classes teach kidney patients and their families about how kidneys work, how the right diet and medications can help you feel healthier, treatment choices that fit your health and lifestyle, even about insurance and options to help you keep working. Empower classes are held the third Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. at the Charles M. Neviser Education Institute at Community Hospice, 4266 Sunbeam Road, Building 100 in Jacksonville. If you need more information or have questions about DaVita, call 1-888-MY-KIDNEY. That's 1-888-MY-KIDNEY.
And now let's return to Tula's Tips for Caregivers on Talk Radio 600 WBOB. Brought to you in part by Hartage Giddens, your Dignity Memorial provider, and by DaVita Dialysis, your source for kidney disease and dialysis. To be a part of today's show, call 904-854-1320. That's 854-1320. Once again, here's Tula Wooten.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tula's Tips for Caregivers. If you've just tuned in, my two guests today are Dr. Stahl, who's calling in from New York. He is a geriatrician who works with seniors and takes the time to work with the folks who care for them as well. I'm thankful that he sees them as one unit because everybody's going through this experience. And my other guest is my good friend, Shirley Munn, who cares for her husband who has Alzheimer's, and we are doing a self-assessment questionnaire today just to kind of determine caregiver stress level with Shirley and just kind of see overall how she's doing and how we can help her. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about not being able to leave her relative, her husband, alone, and Shirley has always been proven resourceful, and she has on her own sought out some help. She was talking a little bit about that, and I applaud you, Shirley, for taking the initiative to start seeking help. A lot of caregivers don't do that, right, Dr. Stahl?
That's absolutely the case, and sometimes I have to go back and forth and over several visits, over several months, encouraging, prodding, getting often it's the male spouse that's somewhat reluctant. Sometimes it's the daughter, the son, the wife, who just feel that they should do it on their own. It's their responsibility, their duty, and they should have the inner fortitude to be able to do it. But the job of caregiving is really a significant, difficult job, and there is significant help out there for you, and before the caregiver gets burned out so that they're no longer able to help their loved one, which is what they're trying to do in the first place, I strongly urge people to find out about the resources available in their communities to help them with this job.
So hats off to Shirley for taking the initiative to do that, because you're right. I too encounter so many who don't do that. They feel like they have to be what I call the big E, everything to everybody, and nobody can do it as good as me, and it's my job, my responsibility, as you said. And sadly, so many caregivers start neglecting their own health, quit going to the doctor themselves, and stop doing a lot of the things they enjoy doing, like going out with friends and, you know, other activities. Some even, you know, quit going to their faith community because they just feel like they need to be there almost 24/7. And that's just not a healthy role for them.
No.
I agree. And I've been thinking in the break, the 15 minutes went by so quickly that I had a thought how we could get through the self-assessment and make it more useful to the listeners. I think the listeners would probably want to keep score of themselves and then find out what the stress level of caregiving. So I rethought this. Why don't we back to number one so people can keep track, yes or no, how they answer it, and then I'll tell them how to score, what the results are, and that giving an indication of how well they're doing in coping with the caregiving role. Also, too, I'm not sure how you might want to get copies of the self-assessment questionnaire out to the listener.
Anybody that calls in, I'll be glad to get it to them. After the show, they can call back. And at the same number that we give out, area code 904-854-1320, and I'll get some information and be glad to get that to you via email or mail it to you or whatever is easiest for you, listeners. So this is a great questionnaire, and I think it's a great idea that we go through all 18 questions. And you know what we can do? We can let Shirley just answer how she answered it and talk a little bit, if possible, time-wise, and then we'll wrap up with just telling her how we think she's doing according to her score. Is that okay? Okay.
That's fine with me. It's
time constraints.
Okay,
huh?
With you, Shirley?
That's fine. That's fine. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay. And I'll also put a prominent link on my website, which is stallgeriatrics.com, S-T-A-L-L, geriatrics.com. I'll put a prominent link also to the caregiver questionnaire if people want to access it that way.
Great idea.
So question number one is, during the past week or so, I have, and you answer yes or no, had trouble keeping my mind on what I was doing.
My answer...
Shirley, this wasn't a problem for you.
That was not a problem. I'm kind of a organized, high-energy multitasker, and I recognize that maybe many caregivers are not that, but I think that's been what saves me, and I kind of compartmentalize all my duties and my agenda each day, and so I'm able to pretty much keep going most of the time.
So your pre-existing skills in keeping things organized were quite strong, and what happens in caregiving is that people have difficulty concentrating often. That could be a symptom also of depression developing.
Mm-hmm.
And people who otherwise could keep their mind on what they were doing now are developing trouble because of their caregiving role. Now, number two, we already talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is also, during the past week or so, have you had difficulty making decisions?
I answered no to that one. I mean, that's not to say next week I may have, but the question was in the past week. So, no, I did not.
Yeah, this often comes to a head when the person being cared for is reaching a point where they might have to go to a different living facility.
Right.
And certainly anyone might have trouble making decisions as to what to do in that circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly that circumstance increases the stress in a caregiver's role and kind of often brings the whole caregiving episode to a head.
I actually had been thinking of something like the new VA skilled nursing center. My husband is a veteran of two wars, and so, but then the more I thought of it, the less I really wanted to do that. And so that's kind of what inspired me to find all these different resources, and there's so many available as far as someone coming in and helping you with lots of different things. And so my difficult decision as far as that kind of backpedaled a little bit, and now I'm thinking along a different line, and I think it'll probably work better for him and for me.
So it did seem that there was a point in which that decision making became difficult.
Yes.
But you were able to get through that,
right,
refining resources.
Right.
And that's excellent. Number four is, during the past week or so, have you felt completely overwhelmed?
That kind of comes and goes as well. As I said, I'm a personal chef, so I have clients to keep up with. I'm a grandmother and love that, and have grandchildren to keep one day a week, all of which is... Well, my husband is living his daily life at home and keeping up with his needs. So sometimes I'm overwhelmed. Other times, you know, it just is what it is, and I go with the flow.
Right. Number five is, have you felt useful and needed?
Yes.
During the past week?
Yes. My husband is also diabetic, and he kind of doesn't do his injections and, you know, the reading and the meter and the logging and all that as well as he used to. And so we kind of tag team that. And so I feel needed as far as that goes to keep his blood sugar levels in the right place and hope that he doesn't cheat while I'm out. That's another reason I want somebody in there every once in a while, because he goes foraging through the kitchen while I'm gone, leaves little crumbs behind, and so I know what
he's
up to. Yeah,
you got to keep those Oreos hidden.
That's
in your
right.
Special place,
you'd
right?
be surprised how much I keep hidden and how much he finds. But anyway.
Now, in terms of feeling useful and needed, do you get specific feedback that someone tells you what a good job you're doing, or
I do
you
hear,
say thank you, or
oh, he doesn't, because
like that.
That's just what I do where he's concerned, I think. But I do hear from friends and relatives that, you know, that I'm doing well with it, and, you know, what choices do I have, really? But I don't mind. I mean, I'd much rather take care of him and have somebody in and out when I want to get away to have some respite time than to put him somewhere permanently.
Right.
I'm not ready for that, nor I don't think my children are either. So this could work out. And we've talked to some that are willing to bring someone in and sit for 3 or 4 hour segments, and I can work my schedule around that, and they can take him to the library, go to a movie, to lunch, play cards, whatever, and he needs that stimulation. He just kind of sits and watches TV, plays with the dogs. So I think it would give me a sense of peace that he's, you know, looked after, and give him a little stimulation.
Shirley, you're lucky that you do feel needed, because often many caregivers that I've worked with only hear when they do something wrong, or it's not up to their brother or adult brother or sister's expectation, the other sons and daughters involved, or you only hear from their spouse complaints about what they're not doing enough of, and but to have the inner sense of what a job it is just to be doing what you're doing. From me, all caregivers have permanent diploma, if you will, being useful and needed.
They sure do. And I'm thankful that she gets the positive feedback that she does, because that's rather unusual, too. You're listening to Tula's Tips for Caregivers on Talk Radio 600 WBOB. Please listen to the breaks to the sponsors who make this show possible. We'll be right back.
Home for the best conservative talk radio in Jacksonville.
Talk Radio 600 WBOB. Online 600WBOB.com.
Glenn Beck!
We must do the hard things now. We may not be able to retire at 65. We may not be able to go and live our dreams. We may not be able to afford X, Y, or Z, but that's okay, because we will sacrifice so our children don't have to pay for our lifestyle today. It's immoral to stick them with this bill.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Weekday afternoon starting at 2 on Talk Radio 600 WBOB. And now let's return to Tula's Tips for Caregivers on Talk Radio 600 WBOB. Brought to you in part by Hartage Giddens, your Dignity Memorial provider, and by DaVita Dialysis, your source for kidney disease and dialysis. To be a part of today's show, call 904-854-1320. That's 854-1320. Once again, here's Tula Wooten.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tula's Tips for Caregivers. You're listening with to Dr. Stahl, who is a geriatrician in New York, and to my good friend Shirley Mum, who cares for her husband who has Alzheimer's. We're going through a self-assessment questionnaire, and Shirley, I think we're on number 6. How did you answer that one? Dr. Stahl, I'll let you give the question first. How about that?
Well, number 6 is, during the past week or so, have you felt lonely?
I couldn't decide whether to say yes or no to that one, so I just wrote down sometimes, given that it's...
We'll give you half a point for that.
Okay. No, okay, then say yes so I get the point. And that happens when, as many of the caregivers listening know, any given day can be different from the next day as far as your loved one's, attitude, mannerisms, whatever. It comes and goes, and in the evening, at the end of the day, it's me and him. And in a way, he's kind of not there anymore in the old way that he was. I mean, we could watch something on TV and have some conversation about it and interact, and we don't have much of that anymore. He watches, but I don't really think he comprehends, and so I'll start to say, oh, what about whatever on there, and he'll look at me like, I'm not even watching that. So, you know, that's lonely.
Can I ask you, Shirley, have you touched base with the Alzheimer's Association, your local chapter?
I think a long time back I connected with them, but I'm going to go ahead.
No, the reason I mention it, one thing that's extremely valuable for the patients that I have that do take advantage of the Alzheimer's Association services is the caregiver support groups.
Right.
And they have caregiver support groups for spouses. Mm-hmm. They have some have early stage groups where even people who have early dementia can get together with their peers,
right,
for camaraderie and
it's good to feel like you're not alone in those situations too. That lightens it up a little bit. Maybe once I get a caregiver coming in, I can go to the caregiver support groups. That would work.
Well, we can help you.
Right, okay. That's a catch-22.
Yeah.
And some chapters actually, provide people that kind of stay with your loved one at the chapter as you attend the support group.
That would be good.
Thanks for that advice, Dr. Stahl. And I'm pretty close to our Alzheimer's Association here, Shirley, so I will connect you to the right person.
That'd be
sound
great.
Good?
Thanks, Tula.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my experience in working with the local chapter here in Western New York is that people don't utilize the services nearly as much as they should. And once they do, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's a tremendous relief to realize you're not alone, to be able to talk about situations that others have dealt with, and to come up with solutions together and mm-hmm. to go through something together rather than alone.
That's good. That's good to know.
Now, Tula actually gave me your yes answers just so we can be sure to get through all 18 questions before this segment is over. And I understand you answered yes, that you're upset that your relative, your husband, has changed so much from his or her former self. It's question 7.
Mm-hmm.
And question 8, also, that you felt the loss of privacy and possibly personal time as well.
Right.
You want to say a little bit about those?
Both of those, okay. The fact that he has changed so much is very vivid, because my husband was a man's man kind of a person, and he was an Air Force pilot and played tennis and golf and, you know, did things and was had a sense of humor, and all those things that kind of aren't there anymore makes him, I don't think he realizes it because he's where he is in his mind, but I realize it because he has changed, and I can't relate so much to the stuff that he's into now, because mostly it's just whatever happened in the past 5 minutes that he's into. As for the loss of privacy and personal time, I do feel that at times. I do, as I said, though, I'm kind of an energetic type, and I do make time to be, like last week I went to dinner with some friends. We're in a Bible study group together, and every now and then the girls in the group go out and have dinner and a glass of wine and come home. And so I was did that and had a great time. We laughed and laughed and laughed and came home, and all the lights were off in my house. I left a note. I leave notes where I'm going and what time I'll be back. I said I'd be back at 9 o'clock. I got back at 8:45. And all my lights are off and the door's locked. So I went in and said, "What is the matter?" And he was in bed, and he said, "Nothing's the matter. Where have you been all day?" Well, having had a couple hours of very fun, laughing, relief, respite type time, I came home and it was all kind of smashed. And so those things, it's almost like my personal time has to end with something that's not good, even though it in and of itself was good. That's
sure.
Why I think a companion,
mm-hmm,
would be helpful,
right,
because they could keep him knowledgeable of that I'm going to be back pretty soon and keep his mind on something else. So that was
right,
kind of
almost
hard.
Negated the fun and enjoyment that
right,
you had.
Right, exactly.
Now I'm going to lump about 5 questions together, and these all relate to physical symptoms that caregivers often develop because of the stress of caregiving. And they could be a symptom of depression, which is very common in caregivers and needs to be addressed by the physician. And if there's one thing to raise awareness about, it is depression and how that could grind caregivers and older people in general to a halt and even look like dementia in certain circumstances.
Right.
But number 9 is, have you felt edgy or irritable? Number 10, has your sleep been disturbed because of caring for your relative? Number 11 is, have you had a crying spell? Number 13 is, have you had back pain? 14, have you felt ill in general, headache, stomach problems, or just cold? And so you answered no to all those. So you seem to be holding up pretty well physically and mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Number 11, have you had a crying spell? Sometimes not having a crying spell could be a sign of stress.
Mm-hmm.
People hold things in and don't let it out.
I actually...
Now, number 12, something that you already mentioned, have you felt drained between work and family responsibilities? And your job as a chef certainly has been impacted to some extent, and often people miss work. There's something called presenteeism, where people are at work, but they're so consumed thinking about their loved one that even at work they're not able to function properly, just as absenteeism, you're not actually at the place. Now, a biggie is 15, and you answered yes to this. And during the past week or so, I have been satisfied with the support my family has given, and you answered yes.
Right.
Tell us about that.
Well, as I said, I keep 2 of my granddaughters once a week, so I see my son and those children. And, of course, he drops them and goes to work. But I have two grown sons here in town and have grandchildren, and then I have a daughter in Texas, and I don't see as much of her, but she does what she can from a distance as far as moral support. And one of the visits this week with one of the caregiver companies, my daughter-in-law came over to be with me during that and took some notes down while I was talking to the people. So that was very helpful. I think for the most part, my children are very supportive. We talk about major decisions and things. They're not as available to come and be caregivers because they have jobs and lives and children and families. And so when I need them, I call and they come.
That is wonderful. And I'm glad they're that supportive of you and that they respond when you call. You're listening to Tula's Tips for Caregivers on Talk Radio 600 WBOB. Please listen to the commercial breaks. They're the sponsors who make this show possible. We'll be right back.
After a loved one dies, some days are difficult to get through. The first Thanksgiving and Christmas are hard, the first birthday, the first Father's Day, and that's how it was after my father passed away. He meant so much to us, and some days I feel his absence even more. Thankfully, he made sure I'd still have a place to visit him, a permanent memorial, so days like these are a little less difficult. Whether you choose burial or cremation, you owe it to your loved ones to give them a site where they can visit and reflect. Dignity Memorial Providers will help you find the ideal site to create a perfect place for your loved ones to visit. The Dignity Memorial Network, America's leading funeral homes and cemeteries, united to bring you the services you need when it matters most.
For more information, call Hartage Giddens Mandarin Chapel, 904-288-0025, 904-288-0025.
I have a question. Who handles the plumbing, carpentry, air conditioning, and welding for big commercial buildings?
Oh, that's easy. You're talking about mechanical contracting, and the leader in Florida is W.W. Gay. W.W. Gay is a mechanical contractor for almost 50 years.
Okay, what about the fire protection, and who turns the lights off and the AC off on the weekends?
That's called building automation projects, and yes, 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 you name it when it comes to commercial, industrial, and engineering, W.W. Gay contracts all services. HVAC, plumbing, piping, welding, carpentry, general construction, fire protection, steel erection, building automation.
Oh, I thought I recognized the name. I see W.W. Gay trucks all over the place.
W.W. Gay's expertise includes successful project completions within the public, private, and military sectors. Check out the projects they have done and call the leader in Florida, the man we trust. W.W. Gay Mechanical Contractors Incorporated, online at wwgmc.com or by phone at 388-2696.
Kidney patients should know they have a choice in receiving treatment. Many patients choose DaVita, a leading provider, because DaVita patient outcomes consistently exceed national averages. DaVita believes that the more you know about your kidneys and how they work, the better choices you'll be able to make about your own care. So, we offer no-cost education classes called Empower Classes right here in Jacksonville. These Empower classes teach kidney patients and their families about how kidneys work, how the right diet and medications can help you feel healthier, treatment choices that fit your health and lifestyle, even about insurance and options to help you keep working. Empower classes are held the third Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. at the Charles M. Neviser Education Institute at Community Hospice, 4266 Sunbeam Road, Building 100 in Jacksonville. If you need more information or have questions about DaVita, call 1-888-MY-KIDNEY. That's 1-888-MY-KIDNEY.
And now let's return to Tula's Tips for Caregivers on Talk Radio 600 WBOB. Brought to you in part by Hartage Giddens, your Dignity Memorial provider, and by DaVita Dialysis, your source for kidney disease and dialysis. To be a part of today's show, call 904-854-1320. That's 854-1320. Once again, here's Tula Wooten.
Welcome back, everyone. Today, my guests are Dr. Stahl, a geriatrician calling in from New York, and my good friend Shirley Munn, who is doing a self-assessment questionnaire to kind of determine her level of stress. And actually, I'm very happy to say I think Shirley's doing pretty well, but we'll talk about that, and I'm going to let the physician sort of do some evaluation on that. Dr. Stahl, we had wrapped up several of the questions before the break. Where do you want to go from here?
Yeah, I want to just touch base on question 15. Shirley was quite satisfied with the support her family, her kids have given her. But one thing, and I'm sure many listeners encounter, is that they don't get support from others. And most commonly, this occurs in adult children, where one takes the responsibility. It might be the one that's in town. It might be the one that just takes the bull by the horns and says something has to be done, and really doesn't get the support that they need or might expect from their siblings. And that can cause a lot of family strife, a lot of added stress, certainly, resentment, and it's very common. Don't feel alone if that's happening to you. But it's, I think one thing would be important to just express how you feel to your siblings and to let them know how much of a job this is and how much you really need their help.
I appreciate you saying that. Go ahead.
What's that?
I said I just wanted to appreciate you saying that because I see that so much, and that typically the role of caregiving does fall primarily to one adult child, and the siblings often do have things to say that aren't always so positive, and often they're not doing much to help.
Exactly, and that's why I just wanted to comment on that. Number 16, Shirley answered no. Have you found your relative's living situation to be an inconvenience or a barrier to care? We won't go into depth there, but certainly there's various scenarios where the household situation can be difficult in and of itself. Now, 17 and 18 are kind of the wrap-up, the global summaries. And 17 is on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being not stressful and 10 being extremely stressful. Please rate your current level of stress. And what did you answer, Shirley?
I answered 6 to 7 to 8, somewhere in there. I'm mostly an upbeat person, and I try to carry that through. You know, everyone has their days when it's not as fun as others, but one way that I kind of keep my eye on the prize is to have goals of my own. And I think it's important for caregivers to do that. You know, as all my friends and family know, it's my dream to go to Italy. And I've got a goal, I've got my luggage, I've got everything ready to go for June of 2012. And that keeps me going. You know, I'm studying Italian. I'm looking at pictures every day and just getting myself geared up for that. And that's a joy to me. Now, when that time comes, how things in my household will be handled, I'll have to cross that bridge when it comes. But I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And then secondly, this is off that path, but I don't know if most of the people are aware of something called sundowner's disease. I'm sure you are, Dr. Stahl. But it's something that my nurse daughter-in-law, made me aware of, and I realized that we experience that not every evening, but many. And it's when the late afternoon comes and the sun starts to go down, that's where the name came from, and it's getting nighttime, and he gets agitated, like angrier than, you know, he's not an angry person in general, but his level of tolerance kind of drops right about then. And his little lack of orientation gets a little bit confused. So if your loved one is doing something like that late in the day, just get online and look up sundowner's disease, and you might find some helpful ways around that.
Yeah, sundowners or sundowning is a syndrome that happens in people with cognitive impairment. That sometimes happens. It doesn't always happen, and it happens to varying degrees. And there's a couple of reasons. There's the sun going down, you start losing additional cues to your orientation in time and space, and also fatigue. Any neurologic disease, be it Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, and Alzheimer's is a neurologic disease, tend to get worse when someone is tired. So those are two reasons for the sundowning syndrome. And it causes things that really can be difficult for the caregiver and need to be addressed. And it's certainly worthwhile to find out more about it and also to discuss it with your healthcare professional or go to a support group and get help there.
Number 18,
the last one, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is very healthy and 10 very ill, how did you answer that, Shirley?
2 to 3.
So you're, I would categorize you, Shirley, without even totaling up the score, as a fairly successful caregiver. There's something called successful aging, where older people age successfully without going through a downhill slide, kind of into oblivion, as Shakespeare said, and As You Like It, the Seven Ages of Man. You seem to be holding up well, both in terms of stress, though your your stress level was a 6 to 8, and your health was quite good. Now, the scoring scheme for this is... you have to reverse the score on questions 5 and 15 because yes answers there were positive, good answers. So you reverse those. If you said no, that you didn't feel useful and needed, that would indicate increased stress. So you reverse those and you total the number of yes responses. And how many did you have, Shirley?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Nine.
So you had 9. If your total yes score is 10 or more, that indicates a high degree of stress. So, you know, on any given day, you might be tipping over into a high stress period. And I think you've talked about that when different challenges have come up and you've been able to get through them. But those... proved to be higher stress periods than others. Now, if you answered yes, just on question 4, have you felt completely overwhelmed? That in and of itself indicates high stress. And if you answered yes, just on number 11, have you had crying spells? That indicates in and of itself high stress. Uh-huh. And if you score on question 17, your overall rating of stress from 1 to 10 is 6 or higher, which you indicated was 6 to 8, Shirley. That also would indicate high stress. And if you score on 18, the health question is 8 or more, where you're not feeling well at all, that is an indication of significant caregiver stress.
Okay. Thankfully, she does feel healthy, that her health is in good shape. And I think the fact that she's got goals ahead of her, that she's looking forward to, is helping her cope emotionally and mentally with the day-to-day. I think it always does help to have goals to look forward to. So overall, wouldn't you say that she is, like you said, she's doing successfully?
I think Shirley's doing great, and yeah. I appreciate getting to know you a little bit. You're very articulate and brave also to go on the air and talk about the things that you have. Now, the recommendations on what to do if you're having high stress, we've covered a lot of that. Shirley's doing a lot of that, getting some relief from the caregiving, looking into someone coming in so she can get more free time. We talked about consider joining a support group. And then for people who are having health problems, it's very important that you get to the doctor and get a checkup yourself. Often right. Caregivers put it off until all of their caregiver responsibilities are done, meaning they just put their loved ones' health first and foremost and put theirs on a back burner. And like I said before, a caregiver has to be healthy in order to be able to help the one being cared for.
Thank you, Dr. Stahl, for such good words of wisdom and advice. The music means that we'll be ending soon. Thank you for listening to Tula's Tips for Caregivers.
It's unnatural, unthinkable to outlive a child or a grandchild, but sometimes it happens, as it did to Ron and Dorothy. Their 8-year-old grandson, Billy, was lost to cancer. The same boy who played soccer in your backyard, the boy Ron and your husband took fishing. You find yourself wondering,